The first part of Romans chapter 1 tells us that the gospel is God's power to reconcile us. And so we learn about the gospel and why it's the power of God to save us. And we talked about we can't get there unless we understand our need, that we understand why we need God's righteousness and that why we're not righteous in our own self, and that we understand that we need rescuing. So if we read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God's shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of an immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." So let's look at what this says. It doesn't say that man doesn't know about the truth of God. It doesn't even say they simply just refuse to follow God or do what is true. It says they actively suppress it, meaning they're actually actively working against God's truth, actively working to push down and destroy what they know is right, what they know is right. Not what is right, but what they know is right. They know it's right. They know they are doing wrong and actively pushing down and suppressing the truth of God. And it says in verse 20 that God has clearly shown him all that can be known about him. Even his invisible attributes, the fact that he's eternal, the fact that he's all-powerful, the fact that he's divine. He has shown this to them, and yet they reject it. And notice I said he's shown us all that can be known about him. You see, our mind is finite. We're talking about an infinite God. Time, as we think of it, we think about what's eternal. Time is a function of matter. That's why it's almost the fourth dimension. And time changes, right? And that's why you see this fact that time can change when you to look at relativity, because time is a function of spatiality. So if you don't have matter and space, right, something that you can touch, feel, measure, length, width, breadth, mass, which is weight, kind of an idea of weight, you don't have time. Time is a function of matter and mass. So if God is spirit, that is why he's eternal, because he has no mass or matter. Time is a statement that doesn't even make sense relating to him. That's a nonsensical statement to talk about God and time. That concept doesn't exist when you're dealing with spirit. It's because he's not bound by mass and space. So imagine this kind of a God and think that our finite minds can understand everything there is to know about him. We can't. But guess what? Everything that we can comprehend, God has revealed to us. It says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them." Plain, meaning clearly seen, not hidden, not shadowed. Deuteronomy 29:29 talks about this. Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." The secret things belong to the Lord, right? Our ruler, our authority, our sovereign, our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us. The things he's revealed are for us. It says, "And it's to us and our children forever that we may do all the words of this law." The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So the things that he's revealed to us plainly are for us to follow and obey. But what do they do instead? And so this is why people are without excuse. Because verse 20 says he's made it clear to them, yet they suppressed his truth. So they are without excuse. Because although they knew the truth, they did not honor him, they did not give thanks to him, they did not worship and serve him. Even though they knew the truth, yet they chose to suppress it. So since they did not honor him as sovereign, and they did not honor his authority, and they were not grateful to them, the result is their minds became futile. And they had just futile, darkened minds and darkened hearts. Is that not what we see now? And foolishly, we exchange God for worship of the created things. It says that they changed the glory of an immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. So we don't think nowadays that means we carve a statue of a bird and worship that bird. But guess what? We're still worshiping the creation, right? We worship ourselves, right? That's where our idols are. They're in our hearts. We worship ourselves. We worship the approval of others. We worship relationships, which are still people, success, comfort, self-pleasure, our desires. We worship nature. And I'm not talking about good stewardship or caring for the environment we should. I'm talking about people who worship nature and they elevate that. So we too are doing the same things. It may not be a wooden idol on our mantle, but the idol's in our heart. Where in our heart we are worshiping the creation, but not the creator. Right? And if we skip ahead to verse 25, it says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. So it says they exchanged the truth for a lie. What lie? Maybe it's a lie that we can find happiness in serving ourselves and pursuing our desires and indulging in every want and seeking our pleasure and comfort and following our wicked and debased hearts. Maybe it's a lie that we think our minds are higher than God's minds and that we know more than God and we can tell God what is true. We can tell God what is right, even though our minds have been totally distorted. And that we totally believe the lies of the enemies. Maybe it's a lie that we can do right in our own eyes, that we can be our own gods, that we can seek fulfillment in the world. Maybe it's the lie that we elevate this life to ultimate importance instead of elevating what is really true, and that is what is in the spirit and what is in eternity. Maybe those are the lies. And we give those lies for God's truth. So we are all without excuse, and his wrath is rightly poured out on us. And that is why it is good news that he loves us enough to rescue us from our wrath. And notice I said we, because we have all done these things. It was but God, not but you, but God. But God called us. It says we are the called ones. But God called us, but God redeemed us, but God restored us. But God put his laws in our hearts and our minds. But God took out our stony heart and gave us a true heart. But God put his spirit in us. So don't think that you're any better than anyone else, because you've done these same things, but God. So let's just appreciate God's goodness and his blessings in our lives. And I will pray. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you so much. For truly you are a holy, righteous, and good God. And we thank you because of your goodness that you have chosen to forgive us for our sins, that you have paid the penalty, and that you are doing a work to restore our hearts, Lord, that you are doing a work to take out our wicked nature and to work in us over time, year over year, the process of sanctifying us, the process of purifying our hearts, and that we know and understand that that's the purpose of our walk, Lord. Not for our own pleasure, not for our own purposes, but to walk through a process of purification, and that you will purify and correct and perfect our hearts. Year after year, as we walk with you in truth and seek your word and come before you in prayer and submission and humility. And we thank you, Lord, that you will use us to show everyone else your glory and to bring glory to your name. When they see your faithfulness at work in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for all these things, Lord, and we pray for those who are still walking in the futility of their mind, that you will open their minds, that you will reveal to them their sin so that they can accept, they can receive, they can reach out and take hold of the grace that you offer. In Christ's name, amen.